Today's all about peace. Like it says, my peace I give you, perfect for today. And those songs, they just create an atmosphere of peace. I love it. And the lyrics from the second one, part of it, come and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. What reassurance. It just brings to mind John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Personally, Jesus personally going to welcome us, bring us to him. And that's something to look forward to. That is something to look forward to. So Lord, we ask for your peace in our lives, in our spirits, in our hearts, as we seek you and look forward to that day where each of us is going to be greeted and brought into your presence. Let's hear more from God through his readings.
Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoiced when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The second reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here ends the reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Jesus speaking. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that it would speak to our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Amen. So God's peace, a special kind of peace, not as the world gives, as was written there, but something that, I don't know, just permeates every cell of your body, even in the midst of chaos. It can be all chaos around you, but yet you can be at peace internally. Peace in your spirit. It's a wonderful thing. And this is what we read about in the readings here today. Paul writing to the Philippians about the importance of peace. Now, when I think of the book of Philippians, I think it's a book of joy, and it is. If I ever work through Philippians, and I might someday, you know, preach through it a verse at a time, it's just filled with joy. And that's what we start out with here in chapter 4 today. He's writing to them, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and always, in all situations." Rejoice in the good times. That's easy, right? Something good happens, you're just all excited. It's easy to rejoice. Indeed, it's contagious. Everybody rejoices. Maybe your team wins, you know, the big game or something like that, or a grandchild is born or something like that. It's just a joy-filled occasion. Paul's writing this in prison, but yet he has joy. He has joy because he knows Jesus. So rejoice in the Lord always in all situations. And he reinforces it. I will say again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace will result. The peace will come. Not being anxious about anything is easier said than done. Seems like many people have to have something to worry about. And as soon as that's resolved, they'll find something else to worry about. And, you know, that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to have peace in our spirit. He wants us to have joy, to experience his love, that warmth, to live in it, and to bring it to others. So don't be anxious about anything in every situation. Have faith, right, in him. Keep your eyes on him. That's sort of the key here. It's sort of like Peter when he was walking across the water towards Jesus. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was good. And when he looked around and realized, whoa, wait a minute. It's sort of like, I suppose, one of those cartoon characters running off a cliff. And until they look down and all of a sudden, nope, right, okay. Because they take their eyes off of Jesus, put them on the circumstances. But here, when you're connected to God, with bringing everything in prayer and petition, prayer, you're connected to God in a special way. Where you feel his presence. You unite with him. You're having that intimate conversation. And with thanksgiving. And as I was riding in this morning, I'm, you know, on the motorcycle, and it does have a radio, but I can't really hear it real well anyway, so I don't turn it on. I'm just praising God. I'm thanking him. And I just thanking him for life. We're here because of him. And we get to thank him for that and for everything else. The things we can give thanks for, I mean, the list is endless. It would just go on and on and on. So with prayer, petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Bring it to him. If you got troubles, you got anxiety, you got stress, you got things like that, bring it to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. His peace, it's not a worldly peace. Peace could be like the absence of conflict, okay? But that's not God's peace. God's peace is something, like I say, that permeates, it saturates you, that you're just feeling it in every fiber and every cell of your body, and all is well. It is well with my soul. Again, even sometimes when things are raging out of control around you. I know I'd used this example one time before, but one of our sons is a deputy, and he's been at it for a few years now, but he was talking about the first time that he was on scene where someone had been shot, hole through the stomach, and he's holding the patch on there and trying to direct other people to do other things. And he said, "Dad, that whole time I just had this such a feeling of peace. I'm doing what I'm trying to do and people are doing their thing. I wasn't panicking." And that's God's peace, isn't it? Because in that situation, most people would be, what do I do? What do I do? You know? And it was God, the Holy Spirit, just filling him and giving him that peace and directing things, and it was able to happen, even though there was total chaos around him. And hopefully you've experienced that at times too. In the midst of chaos, you can be at peace. And also the reverse is true. In the midst of peace, we could be in chaos too, internally, right? You can have internal peace, external peace, internal chaos, external chaos. Hopefully you have external peace and internal peace. That's the best, right? Alrighty. So that peace which transcends all understanding, it doesn't make sense to us in a human way. And it will guard your hearts and your minds. Your heart and your mind. And your spirit, I might add. It'll be the same thing there, pretty much, with your heart and your mind, your spirit, having peace in that. And when it guards it, think of what a guard does. A guard keeps certain things out. It's going to keep the stress and the anxiety out, things like that. it's going to guard against those. And when you got God on guard duty, yeah, nothing is getting past when you're living in his peace. It's the best. Our enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy many things, but among them our peace. He seeks to steal our peace, kill our peace, destroy our peace. But again, where is our focus? Is it on those things, the anxiety, the stress, and the worry, or is it on God? Are we focusing on the storm or on Jesus? He's the one that wants to bring us that peace, that we can live in that peace, and then bring it to others as well. It's a beautiful thing. But it depends on what we're looking at, and that's what comes up next here. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Keeping your focus on that, not on the chaos, not on the storm, not on the things the enemy is bringing against you, but to focus on those things. And that creates an attitude. If we focus on the good, we're going to start feeling that good. We're going to start living that good. If we focus on the bad, it's just going to create, bad things, obviously. So think about such things, especially whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. The things we have seen Paul do, but, God through him. Again, it's God working through him in each case. And the God of peace will be with you, where you can have that internal peace, peace in your spirit. David also sought peace. He knew a lot of tough times when he was being hunted down by Saul, later on by Absalom. He had enemies all around him all the time. And in Psalm 34:18, he writes to seek peace and pursue it. To seek peace and pursue it. Where do we find peace? If I'm going to seek for something, I have to look for it, right? Playing hide and seek, I have to look certain places. And where am I going to find peace? We can try all kinds of different things. We can follow the human nature and try to find peace in our possessions. I've got enough stored up. I'm good, right? Yeah, maybe for a little while in this life, but that doesn't bring internal peace. People all of a sudden have to build security systems because they're afraid someone's going to steal their stuff, right? That's not true peace. But sometimes there's places that lend themselves to peace. Maybe you've got a place where you find peace, a special place where you can connect with God, perhaps. Maybe a place where you regularly go to pray by yourself or something like that. You just find peace there. Maybe coming to church and you find peace here. And God's presence is here, of course, there's peace. And being he's everywhere present, you can find that peace anywhere. But there's those special places many times. For me, one of them is the duck blind. I find peace there. This last week, we had an early teal season. I went out there and enjoyed the sunrise, just me and God talking. It was beautiful, it was peaceful. The ducks didn't interrupt me. It was just great. Other mornings they did, and I got a bunch. Yeah, okay. But sometimes it's just me and him. And it was to that place that on the toughest day of my life I went, not to hunt ducks. And we'd got that phone call that our first grandchild had been miscarried. It was a tough one. And I just needed a place to go. Went down to the duck blind and started using my cell phone to call up some Christian friends and pray with them over the phone. And eventually I found peace, had to work through a bunch of stuff. But I don't know. Sometimes that turmoil is really hard to overcome. Knowing that grandchild is with Jesus, that really helps, obviously. But we don't always have to seek peace. God gives it to us. It's a gift. And that's what we heard in the gospel here today. When Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." All this I have spoken while still with you. He is in his closing speech with his disciples here on the night which he was betrayed. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And that Holy Spirit can bring us God's presence and God's peace for sure. That Spirit dwells within us as believers. And it carries with it Jesus' presence. It is his Spirit. And his peace also dwells within us. And we have to remember that, tap into that. The Spirit will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Again, not as the world gives, his peace, that special kind. And he says, I give you. It's a gift. It's a peace that we don't have to seek. It's a gift that he offers to us. And who would turn that one down, right? God's peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Now later on, the disciples would be troubled. After Jesus had been crucified, they are in hiding, basically. And in John 20, read about that. They're in a locked room, John 20, 21. Starting with 19, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, they were definitely in fear, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. First thing he says, peace be with you. Now, it could be because they think, you know, someone appears in their midst, it's a ghost or something, they're freaked out, and he says, peace be with you. But yeah, he brings his peace. For the 10 disciples that were gathered there, Judas was not there, of course, and neither was Thomas. But later on when Thomas is there, verse 26, he comes again and he says again, peace be with you. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came. So the doors are still locked a week later, okay? So a week later, they're still in fear. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Yeah, bring in the peace. That's what he does. He brings that peace. His peace. A peace of mind. A peace in your spirit. An internal peace in the midst of external chaos. That's what they were experiencing. They're just trying to hold on, not knowing where they're going. As I was thinking about peace, and we were studying it on Tuesday morning, and the lyrics of a song came to mind. When you're at the end of your rope, sort of, sometimes, and really needing God's peace and his presence. This is the chorus from Just Be Held by Casting Crowns. Great song, Just Be Held by Casting Crowns. Highly recommend you listen to it. So when you're on your knees, and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. So often we're just trying to hold on, hold on, hold on, but you know, let him do the holding. Let him do the holding. Let him hold you. Let him immerse you in his peace. This gift that he offers to each of us. And just be held. You know, everybody pretty much loves hugs and being held. You can imagine being held by God. Safe in his arms from anything. Nothing can touch you there. To be at peace. To be in his presence. And to be just be held. This is a peace that's available to all of us. We just seek him. And let him do the holding. But there's a peace to come as well that we look forward to. A different kind of peace, albeit. But that's what we heard in Isaiah today. This reading brings us back to Advent. You hear it every Advent from Isaiah 34. Isaiah 2, excuse me. I had Psalm 34 pulled up there. Okay. Isaiah 9. There we go. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So when you're walking in darkness, there's no peace there for sure. Having no hope. These people have no hope. They're walking in darkness. They have no peace within. But then a light dawns in the midst of the deep darkness. Of course, it's Jesus. We know that. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. Anything that's weighing you down, God just wants to shatter. He wants to set you free. He wants to bring you peace. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, he's going to break that. He's going to remove that. And he's going to bring a peace. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. Fuel for the fire. No more war, no more conflict, no more strife, no more division. All of us coming together as God's children. That is something we can certainly look forward to. This hope for the future, for to us a child is born and has been born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. That's the kind of government I can buy into. Jesus, ruling with justice, showing everyone love. I love it. That's the kind of government I will support, alrighty. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Eternal rule. Eternal rule by a good and loving God. It doesn't get better than that, folks. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever. Revelation 21, right? When he's going to set up that new heaven, that new earth, he's going to make his dwelling among us. He'll be our God, we'll be his people. And he will rule with peace and justice and truth. And we get to be a part of it. Wow. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.